Hi, everybody. Welcome to the masterclass tonight, March 30th, 2023. We have a short masterclass tonight. We only have two presenters. I have Tremaine Durham, who's going to be covering IT and OT security. And then I have Charlene Squires, who's going to do PowerShell automation. Should be good. The information is always wonderful coming from everybody. So. Anybody wanted to go first?
I would like to go first, please. So Charlene, okay. If that's okay.
That's fine. I'm just so nervous. I don't know, you know.
Right. Okay. Tremaine, you got it.
So let me just share my screen. Can everyone see?
Yes.
Yes.
Looks great.
Okay. All right. So good night, everyone. My name is Tremaine Durham, and today I will be discussing information technology and operational technology and their differences when it comes to security. So for the agenda today, I would talk a bit about industrial control systems. Discuss OT a bit, then roll into the differences between OT and IT, highlight a bit what makes OT security different, along with the similarities between OT and IT, and how the two systems could best support each other. So we actually can't speak about OT without speaking about industrial control systems, or ICS. So ICS is the broad industry. It's a broad industry that includes production, manufacturing, and distribution, and is actually usually associated with critical infrastructure. So when we think about critical infrastructure, we think about electrical, transportation, hydro, those industries that are really integral to our functioning as a society. And ICS components are usually they are remote and distributed asset and control systems. And for the engineers that are in the room, ICS components include PLC or programmable logic controllers, SCADA, supervisory control and data acquisition, and DCS, distributed control systems. So ICS is actually a component or a subset of OT, operational technology. And it's because it uses software and hardware to essentially manage that industrial equipment that is found in those critical infrastructure industries. And I know that I listed some previously, but others include oil and gas, telecom, and energy, the energy industries. So OT really focuses on real-time data collection and processing so that you always have uptime. It's always available, always consistent monitoring, and it's usually associated with the automation of industrial processes. So in order to facilitate the type of work that OT does, it consists of equipment that is usually very isolated and specialized that come with non-standard software and operating systems. So what are the main differences between OT and IT? So IT, as we are familiar with, really focuses on like network connectivity, application management, data processing, and cloud computing. That is an IT component. And usually in industries, the IT team is responsible for the enterprise functions in an organization. Things like staff connectivity, storing of employee data, building your websites, customer-facing websites. Whereas OT, even as you think about the industry, is really responsible for the back-end machine-based operations, which is actually what Cisco advises, that OT is back-end and IT is front-end. And specifically with security, when we think of the CIA triad, the confidentiality, integrity, and availability triad, usually industry folks say that OT is really focused on confidentiality and availability, due to just the nature of the business. But IT, there needs to be a balance between all three. So OT doesn't, OT is really focused on availability particularly. So when it comes to securing OT systems, we find that the equipment that is associated with operational technology is old. It's legacy systems that would have been installed years and years ago, or if it's installed now, it has the expectation that it would last for years and years. And usually it cannot really be turned off, because if any of the equipment is off for a long period of time, there's usually like a large impact that could affect human life. So that is why as well it requires an uptime, yes, of years at a time with like a low latency. And because it needs to be available for that long, as previously mentioned, it requires custom software and does not require a lot of updates. And usually when it comes to OT, the components are installed in places that are like very difficult to reach physically. They're usually off-site somewhere. So this table gives a comparison of OT and IT security with like the same categories. So for example, when it comes to patches, we know in an IT system, patches are released frequently, because we always have vulnerabilities and there's usually like a schedule to patch your IT systems. That's not really something that could be done when an OT system is already in production. From what I know and I understand, patching for OT systems could happen before it becomes in like revenue service, before it's used by the public. So because there can't be any downtime, OT systems are hardly ever patched, which, okay, even though they're hardly patched, they are less susceptible to attacks because they are usually very isolated. However, if there are successful attacks, it can be really, really bad. So one of the examples that I could think of is Ukrainian power outage that happened a few years back. That meant that a particular city did not have power for days due to a cyber attack on their power plant. However, IT systems, the attack surface is larger. However, because you can put things in place to lessen the impact of an IT attack, that's the main difference between attacks with OT and IT systems. So when we talk about physical security of OT components, the equipment itself must be protected against like extreme temperatures and chemicals, just because of where the equipment and the sensors, for example, need to be placed. However, for IT systems, physical security in that sense, in terms of how rugged the equipment itself needs to be, is not as comprehensive. So when I think of physical security for IT, I think of like a data center, where you need to have the data center itself needs to be secured, but it's kind of like isolated to the data center. Whereas for physical security of OT systems, the the security of the equipment itself needs to be like very strong. Which actually brings you to the next point of hardware. IT systems hardware is usually refreshed after a few years, but because of the fact that OT systems can't afford the downtime, one, and two, it's programmed in a way to just be up and running for years and years, OT hardware is hardly ever refreshed, whereas IT it is. So previously we mentioned cloud computing. In IT, we can make full use of the cloud. It all comes down to preference of the organization and whatever laws or regulations that may affect a particular organization that might prevent them from using the cloud. However, due to the fact that some OT systems need to be isolated, and also the fact that things are old, the cloud is not really an appropriate solution for OT. And lastly, the security controls for OT really do rely on ensuring availability, whereas IT, it's very integrity focused. And one thing I forgot to put in this table that I realized tonight is a major difference that I've seen in securing IT and OT systems is actually the industries themselves. So there is less of a focus on OT in critical infrastructure just for the fact that it's seen as like an afterthought, because I mean, staff have more important things to think about, like having a train run or providing power to a city. But in IT, you could quicker convince management to implement security because you would have certain regulations that need to be met that don't really apply for OT. However, there are similarities between the two, and it really exists on networking or focuses on networking and real-time monitoring. So even though some OT systems need to be isolated, but some are actually like on a network, and those networks consist of the same switches, routers, wireless technology that exists in IT. So network controls could be used across the board, and you could use like a SIM or login and monitoring for OT systems as well, for the ones that are like on the network. And that network segmentation that could be applied to both OT and IT adds an extra layer of defense for vulnerabilities for both systems. Even though OT and IT can be seen as separate, they could also support one another. As time goes by, the technology that is used to support OT systems would become better and become more integrated with IT. So there is an increase in the ability to do reporting and monitoring. I have read before that it does increase the attack surface of OT systems, but it's like the advantages could possibly outweigh the disadvantages. So that's why that both teams should collaborate to increase security posture and increase their network security. So, in conclusion, IT and OT have always been seen as separate because their security considerations, and there are some differences, but there are also some similarities as well. However, the way forward should be for both teams to work together to improve the security of critical infrastructure. And that is my presentation. Thank you. And does anyone have questions?
Excellent. I did not know. Love having this explained.
You're welcome.
The great thing was is there was some things that I actually heard about what I tell my students As I teach them IT fundamentals as well, you know, the security triad is one of the big things there. So that's really great. Good to know I'm catching up. Thank you very much. And those are beautiful slides too. I really like the pattern that you used.
Yeah, you did such a good job.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Thank you.
All right. Charlene, it is your turn, darling.
Okay. Forewarning. When I practiced this presentation earlier, I ended up being at 6 minutes.
So we're going to go a little longer if we can.
So I added some things in here, but just wanted to say that only I think it's because I'm so nervous. I may speak too fast. So okay. If you hear me speak too fast, let me know.
Just remember, a little silence lets us catch up to you.
Okay. Yes, I'll try to put pauses in things.
There you go.
Okay. let me share my screen. Hold on. Okay. Oopsie. Here we go. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good, good, good. Let me make it bigger. Slideshow. That we can see everything. Okay. So, hello, everyone. My name is Charlene Squires, and this is my presentation about PowerShell automation. Why is that not working? Oh, there it is. So, in my agenda, what we're going to cover is, what is PowerShell? What does PowerShell do? PowerShell automation, what is that? What information is needed to do it? And an example, a summary, then I have my page of references, and if there's any questions at the end. So, what is PowerShell? It is an object-oriented automation engine. And it uses a scripting language that uses interactive command line shell that Microsoft created. Now, as of 2016, Microsoft has an open source PowerShell that can be available to Linux as well as Mac OS. Okay, so all this time it was more for Windows. Okay, and as an administrator, you can use this tool as an automation tool. It aids in configuring systems and automating some certain tasks, such as updates or even batch processing as well. So my next slide here, what does PowerShell do? It allows users and administrators to automate system tasks that you would find repetitive, doing it over and over and over each time. Administrators can create a system management tool. You can even extract information from the different operating systems. And also different products or use of products would help with an organization's workflow. Now, there are some such as Symmetra software. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Iron Software, PowerShell Universal, Sapien Technologies PowerShell Studio 2023, ScriptRunner software platform, and System Frontier. Next slide. Okay, now this slide about PowerShell automation, there's a lot of different ways of automating PowerShell. But instead of me trying to explain each one of them, I felt that I want to talk about commandlets. Commandlets are really small .NET classes that remind me of system commands. It can execute commands within the PowerShell environment. It also, you can script it to optimize your outflow or your workflow that you want. Now, there's a whole list of different scripts or functions that you can use for your commandlets. I put a partial amount here because I like the idea that you can add printers, add a physical disk if you need it, add partitions, access path. Also, you can block your access, the file share access, or share access to anyone that you don't want to be involved, you know, be have them have access to your records or information. And also you can use it for backup. So I thought that was really handy that you could use this in so many different ways. So I also administrators can use the script commands to either run things sequentially for different commands that they want to do all at once, or you can put it as use as output and use that to automate common tasks. So in my experience, the company I worked for, I won't mention their name, but it was created a config file using a commandlet script, and which is really helpful because as an employee, you can install or update an application remotely. You don't have to be on site to do it. This was a great time saver because all we needed to do was to bring up the client account, copy and paste the config file, and then run it. I loved it. That made my life a lot easier as a tech person at my company. So all the work was done on the back end. So you don't have to worry about, you know, if it's going to be done, because it does get done. Okay, so what type of information do you need in order to create a commandlet? You need first an application name under app name, and then the installer would be the file name that would be executable, such as a .exe file or a .msi file, depending on which one you want to use. Now, the installer options, you would need to know your command line options that you would need for an application to be installed or updated or whatever you want to do. And then a package would be the location or file path to the location of where the package is held or saved. And timeout in minutes would be the maximum time in minutes that the commandlet will wait for the update or installation to finish or update. So the commandlet would be, you can create your own, and then you save it somewhere, and then that's the one that you want to name, and that would be the one that you would use to update or install the application. Now, for the enabled, you can have multiple applications you're wanting to do, but you want to create a batch file of all these applications and enable each one all together. Or you could do it as single application if you want to instead. All right, so this is a closest example I have to what I used. It's not exactly the same, but it has the same characteristics. And so all you have to do is copy and paste it with the appropriate information, and then it should run. Oh, well, more or less, it would run depending on the bugs. So in summary, I covered very briefly anyway PowerShell, and in this presentation I mentioned is automation for repetitive tasks, such as updates. But it can be used for different things like installing different applications, updating it, and also monitoring tasks. Depending on what you want done, you can do different files, updates, and everything else. But I took a very narrow concentration on my topic here, so I wouldn't be giving you too much information and then you'll fall asleep. Now, there are many other features that I did not discuss on purpose, and I hope you will go out and discover what it can do. So here's my list of references. I used a lot of Microsoft references because, of course, Microsoft is the one that created PowerShell in the first place for Windows. So thank you for listening, and I hope I took longer than 6 minutes. But do you have any questions?
Hey, Charlene, can you please go back on? Sorry.
What do you want me to go back on?
Go back on the screen before the last screen. The script that you are showing.
I was hoping for the one before the summary as well.
Before that.
Before the summary. Oh, okay. Let me get out of here. Go backwards here. Yes, the example.
Yeah. So, okay. What is this for, this script?
This one I got from Microsoft as an example of a commandlet.
Okay. So, this is like an auto installation of Skype.
Yeah, well, this one, like I said, it's not the exact one that I had to use because we were not able to make copies of it, especially after I left. You don't want other people to know what they have. But this is just an example about this one has to do with Skype. Okay. But it's not something that we did. We didn't do Skype at all. We were updating an application, and I won't name it either, but a certain application that needed to be installed because the clients would not be able to get access to it
before installing the Skype. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So with Skype, that's different. So it's not the same application. So that's why I said this is an example and the closest one that I could find that even resembled this. Look for it. Anyway.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, I had a question on the timeout. Is that like a fail-safe in case something goes wrong, or it has to be done in that period of time?
It's the maximum number of minutes that the program will wait for you to for the installation to take place or updates. So it could be like 220 minutes, or depending on what kind of program it is. If it's something that's very time consuming, you need to drag it out a lot longer than you would if you were just updating a minor update for their Windows or, their printer. Because a lot of times the printers would not work because they don't have their devices updated, the drives for the drivers for the printers.
So that could interrupt this and break out of it if there was an issue like that.
Yes, of course. Of course. And then we would definitely, if it's something that we need to send out our technicians that would be out in the field, then they could, do an office visit and fix it for them. Yeah. I was only working on the phones, helping them on the phones. So we did a lot of things. Well, either behind the scenes or if we're talking to a client, then we will take care of it right then and there and fix their problems. Hopefully it's not a printer problem, because that one we had a lot and drove me a little crazy, because then I, you know, just want to be able to touch the printer, but you can't.
Yes.
And you tell them to do this and do this and this, this, and it may not get, you know, it may not be correct the way they do it. So. All right. So did I talk too fast? I hope not. I
one additional question, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
So how would you say that this, so there seems to be some built-in safeties. How would you say that this would compare with something similar on the Linux side, like a cron job? Are there any additional safeties that you can see here or any additional advantages?
Well, it depends on the company. Because then the clients that we dealt with, you know, we did do some security things, but then that was a separate thing. they didn't call in because of security issues. They called in because of their, you know, physical problems with their computers, phones, servers, you know, their routers not working, that type of thing. So they didn't call in to talk about the security. So it depends on how your organization does security, because there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things that they can do. They should do that. I mean, to protect the organization.
But
you know, for me, my experience, I was not on the security side. I was just taking calls on problems with the devices.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions?
That was awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I guess I'm done then. Yay! I can breathe.
Yes, and you did a great job.
Well,
it's actually very interesting. So yeah, both of you did a really great job. Loved it. I'm sorry it's so short. I want more.
I'm sorry. Well, is it? I could have, you know, brought in more things, but I kept changing it up to the last minute, like 5 minutes before coming into the meeting.
Yeah, no, you did great.
Yeah. So I kept adding to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put the link in the chat here. So I've added May. So if other people want to add themselves to it, we definitely have a bunch of different spots here that are open. Remember to try and get it as soon as possible. Do not wait until it's time to leave the term, you know, or the course, because you're going to run into issues with so many people leaving at the same time. Remember, everybody that came in is going to be leaving the same time. So we really have to make sure that you get a spot. Yeah. You got one, Richard. Good. Yep. So excellent work, you guys. Congratulations on getting that done. You don't have to worry about it. If you are a grad, you are supposed to do presentation one per 6 weeks. One of them can be in a master class, and the other one you can do in your department meeting if you want to, or do another master class, however you want to do that. I know that you're going to have one for every 6 weeks you got, so you'll have to come up with something else for that, but it might be easier with your department. Undergrads, you do have the master class to do, only one, and anytime before you leave is perfect, and we're looking forward to it. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming, and this was great. Thank you very much, Charlene and Yvette. Great job.
Could I ask a quick question?
Yes, go ahead.
Would I be able to do a master class on Git once I understand it? Is that okay?
Yeah, Absolutely. Sure. Because we all want to learn what you guys are learning. You know what I mean? Everybody's got something different that they're learning. So you can do that as well.
That's a topic we need.
We do.
Because I struggled a lot, and I struggled a lot, let me tell you. But I found a lot of things and discovered a lot of things along the way. And I think that other people might have brains like me that might appreciate it broken down the way I have it. And I relate it to like video games and things like that. So hopefully that would be a fun masterclass.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like games.
Well, and I'm one of those that needs more information. So, and if it's if it's visual, it's even better for me.
I almost added a puzzle in it. I thought, no, I'm getting carried away. Well, I like puzzles.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, head things, you know, head games.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
But no one else would like.
It was good. Definitely good.
Thank you
so much, everybody. I see you guys adding. That's great. Perfect. Because that'll get you set up before everybody has to do theirs. Once you get it done, remember you're done. So I've only got one for next week too, so if we can get some that come in next week, that would be great on April 6th. That would be cool too, so we don't just have the one 15-minute one.
I'm more than happy to go, though I've got two possible topics. I'm not sure which one would have the most interest. One of which being I can do interview prep, effectively what we would expect for like a beginner software engineer for a large international conglomerate, or I could go infrastructure as code and show people effectively how to stand up Amazon resources right from your application.
Okay, well, I have you down there. You're gonna be 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or 45?
I think we should be able to fit which which topic sounds more interesting.
That's up to you.
Okay.
Totally up to you.
Fair enough. I'll pick one, but I think both topics can be covered in roughly 15.
Oh, okay. Great. I have you marked down April 6th.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome.
I should also be able to do April 6th. I could do what's going on with streams, because that's kind of my task this week.
Oh, so you want to move from May 4th to April
6th? Well, I got to do two. I'm a graduate student. I can do May 4th and can do April 6th. Because if I need to do two, why not do two?
Oh, you have to do one in this 6 weeks and then one in the next 6 weeks.
Yes, and then the next 6 weeks starts in May.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah. So like it kind of like if I need to move it, I'll move it. But if I don't, then great. Gotcha.
Okay, so I'll put
Can
you down
for
this.
Can I sign up for May 4th as well?
Yes. So,
I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I want to book it.
You might as
I'm
well.
I'm also a grad student, so right, I need to get two spots.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's why I said, because we ran into that a lot before, especially the grad students, because you have two of them. We want to get everybody in there.
Would I be able to do April 20th as well?
Streams, future of streams. So I'm Rachel.
So do you want April 6th or do you want April 20th?
April 20th, please.
Okay.
Okay, I'm locked in. This is it.
That's right. That's right. So we have you. Wait, did you have one already done? Oh, yeah, no. So you didn't. Oh, Brett, that's right. You want May 4th.
Yes, please. May 4th and April 20th, if
and
that
April 20th,
sits right for the 12 weeks. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Marjorie.
Yes.
Just one quick thing. I might have missed it. So for a graduate student, we need to give one presentation each internship, right? During each internship timeline.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Because you got 12 weeks, but it's split. So.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Sorry, I just wanted to just make one correction to something that I said in my presentation about the OT security. Its focus is on availability and integrity. I think I made a mistake and said confidentiality. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, all right. And basically because it's open, it's OOP, right?
Yeah, so it's just not, it's really not a focus on that. And yeah, I just made a mistake with that. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. So you guys, you decide where you want to put it. We have plenty. I can do up to an hour on these. So 15 minutes each. If you see that there's 45, add another 15. You know, you can do a 30 minute, you can do a 45, however long you want it. We'll be happy to have you. So
6 minutes.
6 minutes. You did good.
How long did it last, really?
I really don't know, but it was interesting enough that I didn't even feel it. And it's 9:43 now, so we're doing pretty good on time. So,
oh, good.
I think you ended up 15 minutes, at least 10 instead of 6.
I don't think so, because okay. I know me. Because right. I was like,
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Slow down.
You did good. Thanks, everybody. And if there's nothing else, have a great rest of the evening, weekend, be safe, and have fun.
Good night.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Now I have to do a cyber thing. Hey, Eric. I'm glad that you made it.